come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. As we get closer to the election, these two subjects dominate the conversation. My next guest is a business and technology visionary who changed the business vocabulary forever when he coined the term the long tail. He's focusing his attention on the new DIY maker economy. We'll discuss his latest thesis on the new industrial revolution from his book, Makers. Chris Anderson is the editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine. He's led the magazine to multiple National Magazine Award nominations and three top prizes for general excellence. Adweek named Wired the magazine of the decade back in 2009. Chris is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Long Tail, and also Free, The Future of a Radical Price. He lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, joining us from up north. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Well, thanks for being our guest here on the show, and thank you for being a thought leader in this area. I want to start out with Nicholas Negroponte, who is the former head of the MIT labs. He sort of divided the world into two categories, atoms and bits. And he contended that anything formerly made of atoms will eventually move to digital bits. And for the first part of the 21st century, he was right. I mean, if you take a look at music, that's migrated. Books, they're going to e-books. When was the last time you saw an encyclopedia or even an atlas, for that matter? You argue, however, that when the web generation meets the real world, we're going to experience a renaissance in manufacturing. And you're kind of in a unique position to report on this because you're the grandson of an inventor, and you yourself are a participant in this digital maker revolution. You're the co-founder of 3D Robotics. So describe this new industrial revolution, this surge in digital makers, if you will.
Yeah, you expressed it really well. And basically, the analogy is simply the PC, the personal computer. In 1977, when the Steve Jobs and Wozniak came up with a personal computer, it wasn't the most powerful computer around. There were mainframes before that. But the point was that it was personal. It was desktop. That previously, computers, you had a big company or government or university have a computer, mainframe, and now anybody could have one. And what was interesting is what they did with it. You got this explosion of creativity and ideas of how to use a personal computer. We invented things like spreadsheets and video games and email and all that sort of stuff. That moment is now coming to manufacturing as well. Rather than a personal computer and a desktop printer, you have personal factories and desktop manufacturing. And these involve a new set of digital fabrication tools like 3D printers, laser cutters, CNC machines, 3D scanners, the kind of stuff that the industry's had for decades, but it's just now becoming affordable and easy to use for regular homes and schools. That's the first part. That means that, just like the moment you had a printer on your desktop, that in a sense you could harness something that was previously the domain of big publishing companies. Now you can do the same thing with manufacturing by making things initially in plastics, but then in metals and glasses and even electronics. Just by pushing a button, it takes a lot of the complexity out of the model. But then because this is the web generation, everything happens in digital form. It's shared, done in communities, open collaboration. And as a result, the innovation model works really fast. People work together to do things they couldn't do on their own. And because it's a digital file, they can be uploaded to services or factories that can mass produce the same design. So in a sense, you can prototype on your desktop and then just upload it to the cloud to be mass produced, and then anybody can be a manufacturer.
My guest is Chris Anderson, author of the book Makers, The New Industrial Revolution. And Chris, I think no story tells this better than your story about meeting Jordi Munoz and the DIY drones and how that sort of exemplifies everything that you're talking about. So if you would, share that story with us, please.
Sure. So I started messing around with these things with my children. I'm trying to get them interested in science and technology, and started exploring electronics and things like that. And it quickly became clear to me that what would be really cool is if we could build an autopilot, which is a computer that can fly an aircraft. Now that sounds like military stuff, but it's basically your smartphone to do it with the right app and a cable. So we started messing around, and clearly, I had a lot to learn. So I set up a community, a social network called DIY Drones, and it was really just for me to share my ignorance. I'd ask dumb questions, and smart people would answer them, and we'd all get smarter together. One of the first people that came into the community was this guy who was flying a helicopter with a hacked Wii controller in the video, in the Wii video game console. And very impressive, cool demos, and we started talking to each other and working together. And as the community grew, we started coming up with new designs, and it was clear at this point that we were doing something pretty cool, you know, stuff that had previously been kind of military industrial stuff, and we were doing it with just, you know, hacked you know, boards and, you know, soldering irons and that kind of stuff, but it was still pretty complicated. You needed a soldering iron, so somebody needed to make this stuff for people so it would just work out of the box. This Jordy guy seemed like the best one to do it with, so I asked Jordy whether he wanted to start a company, and he said, yeah. And I said, well, tell me a little something about yourself. And he turned out to have been 19-year-old from Tijuana, graduated from high school, never been to college, and didn't matter. The point was, he was the best person in the world for this particular task. He understood technology and the web's innovation model and was really smart. And today, he is CEO of 3D Robotics, which is a multimillion-dollar robotics company in San Diego and Tijuana. He's only 26. At this point, taught him, still hasn't been to college, although he's taken some high school, taught himself everything he needs to kind of set up a world-class electronics lab, because today you can. You know, we have access to the greatest information resource the world has ever seen, the internet, and communities of other people who are happy to help us. And, you know, we're able to kind of come up to speed on things that used to be really hard, like robotic electronics manufacturing, so quickly and so cheaply that we can compete with aerospace companies. You know, 10 years ago, what are the odds that the editor of Wired, when he starts up a drone company, would end up with a Mexican teenager as his partner and CEO? But, you know, in the web model, that's exactly the right answer. You know, the best person in the world may not come in, you know, from your country or have the right, you know, credentials or degrees or track record, but the point is, you know, what can they do? That's what really matters. And Jordy was the guy who could do the most.
Well, it's great. My guest is Chris Anderson, and the Jordy story really does exemplify this whole DIY maker movement that we're talking about here. But one of the things that I noticed when I was reading your book is that you have to be familiar with the use of CAD software, the internet, these 3D printers that you talked about at the outset. Each of these requires very specialized knowledge, not something that's currently being taught in our schools. And in fact, our education system was designed for the first industrial revolution, and it stressed, you know, simple reading and math skills and punctuality above everything else. Our schools haven't caught up to the second industrial revolution of computers and the internet. How must our schools change for this third industrial revolution? I mean, are we preparing our children for the wrong economy?
Well, you know, that's always the case, isn't it? And the truth is that schools are not necessarily supposed to teach you all the work skills you need. They're supposed to teach you how to learn some foundational knowledge, socializing, responsibility, just being able to focus and learn. So I think basically kids are pretty good at teaching themselves computers, and the fact that your computer lab teaches you PowerPoint doesn't mean you can pick up the rest pretty quickly. That said, I do think that design has been considered a sort of a rare and, you know, unusual skill that you needed to go to a special school for. And today, the moment you have a 3D printer on your desktop, and today they cost, you know, just a little over $1,000, and they're about as easy to use as a desktop, you know, inkjet. Today, anybody can be a designer, and kids in particular pick this up super fast. If you have a kid playing Minecraft or The Sims, they're using CAD programs, they just don't know it.
Really?
They're very good at navigating 3D spaces, they understand polygons, and so although they don't necessarily know all the language of traditional CAD, there's a new generation of CAD tools that are really organized for kids or for anybody, really, that simplify that. Tinkercad is on the web, anybody can use it. For little kids, Lego Digital Designer is a CAD program that's free from the Lego company. So I think that, you know, by and large, if we can just get a couple 3D printers into the computer labs we already have in schools and introduce the notion of design as a core curriculum subject, we're going to be, you know, basically not so much training but inspiring a generation of kids to be the next product designers of the 21st century.
My guest is Chris Anderson, author of the new book, Makers, The New Industrial Revolution. And Chris, we here in the United States, we bemoan the loss of manufacturing jobs in our country. I mean, we as the taxpayers, we bailed out General Motors and Chrysler to save manufacturing jobs in this country. So when you write in the New Industrial Revolution in your book, I mean, you immediately think, oh boy, there's going to be this resurgence in manufacturing jobs. That's not necessarily the case, however. I mean, the new manufacturing is on a much smaller scale, doesn't need as many employees. So explain how this new industrial revolution is going to positively impact our unemployment situation.
Yeah, so the kind of manufacturing jobs we had in the 50s and 60s, which is to say big factories, lots of assembly line work, a lot of kind of, you know, relatively manual skills, that's not coming back to the West. That went to Asia, and even there it's being replaced by automation. So, you know, all manufacturing is being increasingly automated and robotic going forward. The point being, though, is that when you automate stuff, you take out the labor component, you reduce the labor component such that the West can compete in many sectors. We're seeing the car industry come back in the United States, part because the manufacturing processes are more efficient, more automated, and, you know, shorter supply chains are better when you look at the political and economic costs of shipping things around the world. What you're seeing is, with the new industrial revolution, with the maker movement sort of turning into entrepreneurship and innovation, is basically a return to the great American economic driver of small and medium-sized businesses. The difference between these small and medium-sized manufacturers is that they have the potential to get big. The web model taught us that if the barriers, you know, the web, by basically letting anybody with a web browser become, you know, potentially an entrepreneur if they wanted to, it lowered the barrier to entry. And you ended up with companies like Facebook starting in dorm rooms. You can now have manufacturing companies that start in dorm rooms. Now, and you have places like Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding site, being a financing, sites like Etsy, being, you know, a marketplace. And, you know, Cork is another one. It's very easy to participate. And some of these small companies or entrepreneurs or just people with an idea are going to get it right. And those ideas are going to get bigger. Those companies are going to grow quickly. And, you know, those could be, you know, if not, you know, big companies, at least, you know, medium-sized companies. We already have maker companies in tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, I think that it's just a matter of a year or two before one of these companies is out in $100 million of revenues. And, you know, at that point, you know, you get enough of them out there, and collectively, they can be an engine of job creation. Not that any one of them have massive factories with thousands of employees, but that there are thousands of them with, you know, a dozen employees each. But these employees are more innovative. They're doing more knowledge work. They're basically operating digital machinery. And as a result, they have the skills to innovate faster and grow companies more quickly than traditional manufacturing jobs could.
My guest is Chris Anderson, author of the book Makers. And Chris, I'm glad you brought up this whole issue of scalability, because initially this new industrial revolution is going to start small with small inventors, small companies, as you mentioned. You've sort of made that leap with DI Drones, and you've moved into what I would consider a small cap company. The trick really is growing these companies to scale. And you've got several good examples in your book. A couple of them tickle me. And I'd like you to talk about Will Chapman at Brick Arms and how he has sort of scaled up from a mom and pop business into something that is becoming a mid-sized company.
Sure. You know, it's interesting to see the world through your kids' eyes, because kids are very discriminating consumers. And my kids were, my boys in particular, were into Lego. And the thing about Lego, though, that it's really focused on sort of, you know, largely boys under the age of 12. And once they get older and they get into, like, war games, etc., Lego doesn't really do 20th century weapons. It's part of their family-oriented philosophy. But that's what my boys wanted. So, you know, rather than sort of, you know, just give up on Lego, they looked around a little bit and they found that there were some others, you know, there were other kids and adults who wanted the same thing. One of them was Will Chapman. And Will Chapman, who I think lives in Seattle, had one thing that my kids didn't at the time. This was some years ago. He had what's called a CNC machine, which is basically a computer-controlled little grinder that can you design something on a screen and it'll basically cut out a mold for injection molding plastic. So he designed his own, you know, he's designed weapons for his boys, you know, M16s and all the little things they wanted in the Lego scale to recreate the World War II battles. And he printed out a little hand press injection molding machine, and they looked pretty good. And he then sent the mold out to a little, you know, to a local injection molding factory, and they started making them in volume and started selling them online. And now he's got quite a big business called Brick Arms, and there's tons of others. Brick Forge is another one. These are all sort of serving the long tail of Lego, if you will. They're the products that maybe aren't going to sell in the millions, but will sell in the tens of thousands. It's too small for Lego. It's maybe too controversial for Lego. but it keeps people in, kids in particular, in the Lego world longer, which is good for Lego, good for the kids, and, you know, fundamentally fills out the product line in a way that has room for both the big company, Lego, and an ecosystem of smaller companies like Will Chapman's. Today, he's quit his job, and then he says he used to be a software analyst, and he says he makes more money on a bad day of selling, you know, Lego weapons than he ever made on a good day in software.
That's an amazing story. My guest is Chris Anderson, author of the book Makers, The New Industrial Revolution. Chris, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Makers?
The point is simply that manufacturing sounds scary and sounds like something you can't do. And, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to find 3D printers in your world. You're going to find CAD tools. You're going to find your kids messing around with this stuff. And you're going to suddenly realize that just as the PC allowed us to use computers and the web allowed us to use publishing, that suddenly anybody can manufacture. Anybody can create anything you can imagine, you can make real. You don't need machining skills. You don't need necessarily access to factories. This is something that can be done on screen. You can upload it to services. You know, they use credit cards, PayPal's not very expensive. Your ideas can turn into something you can hold in your hand within a matter of days, and you don't need a degree to do it. Now, what would this empowered generation create? I have no idea. I think we've seen it's pretty exciting what happened with the PC. It's pretty exciting what happened with the web. I have every expectation that there's going to be an explosion of creativity and entrepreneurship and innovation out there as people start to put their ideas down on screen and fabricate them. The great thing about this is that, you know, because you don't need to have a factory or have a degree or have the training, because it's getting so easy, that we can expose this to people with different contexts, different countries, who have their different needs. And suddenly, by just sort of expanding the range of participation, you know, to millions of people, then you're going to find out what this stuff is really for. We didn't know what the personal computer was for in 1977, we later figured it out. We didn't know what the web was for in 1993, and we later figured it out. We don't know what desktop fabrication is for, but we do know we're going to get it. And what's really exciting over the next few years is to see what we do with it. So if I give your listeners just one homework assignment,
sure.
If you have a kid or kids, and you know you can afford it, we're talking maybe $1,000, a little bit like buying a home computer. Consider buying a 3D printer this holiday season, or maybe next holiday season. But if you can bring one, they're getting easy, they're getting reliable, and if you bring one to the house, let a kid play with it, and that could change their life.
It certainly could, and you are definitely a visionary. My guest has been Chris Anderson, author of the book Makers. Chris, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, they can, easy to find on Google. The book is Makers, The New Industrial Revolution on Amazon. You can find my drone site at DIYdrones.com.
Chris, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Pleasure. Thanks, Mo.